Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a dental tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. I am joined by my good friend, Dr. Martin Mendelson, and my co-host. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. And together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry, something that is not often talked about in our profession. And today's going to be interesting because we are going to be talking about addressing negativity. Now, before I get into that topic, if you haven't gone to our Wellness and Dentistry website and checked out all of our links, especially our Lightside Live course that's coming up this November in Southern California, make sure you do that. That's a 2-day course where we go deep workshop style into what's holding you back in dentistry, how to have crucial conversations, how to think about your purpose in life, how to change your daily habits. It is the most profound and transformational course that Martin and I do, and we get to do it together, which is super fun. So make sure you check that out at Wellness and Dentistry. So let's go back to our topic today, addressing negativity in the dental office. Martin, we get this question a lot from listeners. We've heard it in our courses. My assistant comes in and she says, or you see something wrong with him or her, and you say, you know, what's going on? They say, well, Sheila never cleans up her chair. She makes a big mess and then she always goes to lunch. And I'm stuck cleaning up her chair and I'm sick of it. This is
Absolutely.
negativity, right? This is negativity coming. How do we address this? And before you answer, I would like at some point today to talk about addressing this as the owner, addressing this as the associate, addressing this as just an employee of the practice.
Absolutely. So I think the I like the way you couch that question because there's negativity, and then I'll call it relative negativity. What do I mean by that? So this is negativity relative to another employee or relative to another situation, right? So, you know, human beings in relationships always want to be heard. So I think my first step would be, it's like, wow, that is very frustrating to come into a room and find it, you know, left broken down or unclean, whatever. What I was listening for, and truth be told, right, Kyle, we didn't talk about what you were going to ask me ahead of time. What I was listening for was words that were globally descriptive, always, never, those kind of things. Because oftentimes we will catastrophize and generalize when it's 2 out of the last 10 times. So, to answer your question, I would say something like, you know, it sounds like that's really frustrating. Look, it's frustrating for anybody to come into a room and find that it's not been turned over. It sounds like, you know, that there's a feeling that Susie, I forget the name of the person you used, Susie, you know, has done this multiple times. You know, I'm just kind of curious just to put some perspective to this. You know, you said she always does this. Well, is it always or is it sometimes? You know, and so it starts a conversation relative to bringing it down from global catastrophe down to actual reasonableness. And I'm employing a concept from emotional intelligence called reality testing. So it's like, how true is that? That Sally never cleans up her room, that you're always having to do that. It may feel that way, but is that really the case?
Okay, so the two things that I boiled down into the start of your explanation is number one, sympathy, making someone feel heard. You don't know the facts yet. You don't know what's true. You're simply addressing them saying, I'm really sorry that you're experiencing this, or yeah, I see how that would be challenging. I really like that. And I think, and you know, you've used that many different times, and I think that's just a linguistic or communication technique that a lot of us should think about. I mean, even when someone's coming after you, is first having them be heard and
Absolutely.
then going to the next step. And so, what I heard in the next step when you talk about how true is that is let's get rid of emotion and let's get down to facts, right? It's almost like the first step, you address their emotion. I'm 100%. Really sorry to hear that you're going through that.
Yeah.
Now that that's out of the way, boop. Now let's get down to facts.
Yep. What I was actually
Did that work how I...
Yeah, you're peeking behind the curtain to use a Wizard of Oz reference. So really what I was doing was basically classic coaching techniques where I was acknowledging the situation and I was validating the emotion. I wasn't necessarily agreeing with it, because if you notice, I said it makes sense that anybody coming into a room that's not turned over would feel the same way. I didn't say, yeah, she's a jerk. That isn't what I did. But what I did do was acknowledge the fact that anybody in that situation would feel frustrated. Now, this kind of enters into interesting territory, because I could imagine people listening would think, okay, well, then what, right? And so it's an interesting thing. Very much this situation necessitates sticking to open-ended questions, right? Like you wouldn't say, well, do you think she did it on purpose? Well, of course she, blah, 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 blah. So why questions are actually fascinating ones, because why questions will get you will allow the other person to answer based upon the story that they made up in their head, which can be used as a tool, right? Because in this situation, you could look at her and say, well, why do you think she did that? Well, just because she doesn't care about me and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. So look, this is a really frustrating situation. How true is it? Do you really think that she kind of came in here today just to frustrate you because, as you just said, she didn't like you? How true is that, right? And so are there completely dysfunctional teams where this kind of conversation may kind of deviate and devolve? Yes, 100%. But that's not most of them. And we know that, right? We know that. So what are your thoughts about taking that to the next step?
Yeah, I like what you said. You know, how true is that? We're getting down to the facts, the open-ended questions, the why questions. As you were mentioning the open-ended questions, it brought me back to an episode, I don't know when it was, that we talked about leadership and how good leaders ask questions.
Yes.
Or at least they ask questions before they answer.
Yeah.
So they may already know the answer.
Yeah.
But they're going to verify the facts. They're going to get a little more information before they give an answer.
Yeah, and absolutely.
The older I get, the more established I get in my career, the more that I, you know, get on certain boards or advise companies or this, it's funny how the more questions I ask.
Yeah.
And before I, you know, they'll come to me with a question. Hey, Doc, what do you think we should do here?
Yes.
Like I was just talking with one of the companies that I advise for. And I was talking with their CEO. And he said, you know, what should we do from a marketing standpoint for this business? And I had to ask a lot of questions before I could give them the answer. You know, are you going for GPs? Are you going for specialists? Are these people that would only do aligners, or would they also do braces? Are they in rural areas, or are they in more metropolitan areas? Are these doctors making over $200,000 a year or less than this? Because that changes my answer.
Oh, 100%.
Give. And so 100%. I really like how you did that.
Yeah.
Is there a risk of people coming to you? You've validated their emotion a little bit, at least at the beginning. Now you're finding out the facts. Are they coming to you? Well, and maybe this is kind of a crystal ball question, but are they coming to you because they want to feel heard, or are they coming to you because they want an answer?
I would say it could be one or both, right?
Yeah.
One of my first mentors in business once said to me, it was Phil Moyer, who was president of the lab that I worked for when I became disabled. He said, Martin, always cherish and respond to the clients that bring stuff to your attention. He said, because the only reason why they're doing so is because they think you're going to do something about it. He said, it's the people who stay quiet that you need to worry about. And I think that's very, very profound advice. Now, within the confines of a team where we're living with these folk day in and day out more than we do our own families, there can be a certain level of emotion involved where they're just, you know, simply venting, right? Yeah. What I will say, though, and I'm glad you asked it the way you did again, because this leads us into kind of the next thought in my crazy brain, which is, this comes from the top. Like, we need to lead by example. And so if they're seeing us as leaders constantly catastrophize and constantly comment on the negative, all patients are insurance minded. Nobody wants to pay for anything these days. Everybody is trying to, you know, take advantage. Well, you're modeling that behavior, right? I'll give you an example. You didn't even hear about this yet. Wait till you hear this. So in any given situation, as bad as it can possibly be, how can we look to something that's positive or that we're grateful for? Not negating the negative, but this is what happened. And I'm going to share with you my honest emotions and my honest reactions. We decided we were going to drive up to Flagstaff, Arizona this past weekend. Yeah, I live in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. It's 30 degrees cooler. Well, you didn't hear this part. So Google says that the only major highway to get there is closed.
Oh.
And that it's going to detour us. Okay, fine. Well, then it flips to a detour that was farther south. Flagstaff is north of us, farther south than the original detour. And we think, okay, sweet, that's cool. Look at Google, there's the road, fine. As we get off the highway, that's at the point that this highway, the traffic was like stopped. And we're like, hee, 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 we avoided the traffic, da, 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 da. We go down this road, we make two turns. On the third turn, we all of a sudden turn on what is obviously a dirt road with boulders, with large humps. And it's like basically one way. And we're starting to panic because like there's cars behind us, cars in front of us. What do we do? Blah, blah, blah. We finally decide we're going to turn around. When we turn around, we bottomed the car out three times.
Oh my gosh.
We are freaking out that we're going to break down, break an axle. Mm. I'm not exaggerating. But we got out. And here's the kicker. Went back to the highway, sat in traffic for 40 minutes, and Google was wrong. The highway wasn't closed.
Oh, wow.
And we don't even know where that 40 minutes of traffic came from because there was no reason for it. But here's my point. When we got through that, was I angry at Google for giving us wrong information about the road closure? No. Was I angry at Google for taking us on a road that should never have guided us to? It turns out, by the way, it was a fire access road, by the way.
Yeah.
So wow. It was on the maps.
Mm.
What we were focusing on was the fact that we made it out, the car wasn't damaged, and that we were able to continue to get to our weekend, right? Yeah. So negative things happen in the dental office all the time. But the question then becomes, what are you going to focus on when the smoke clears? Right? Mm-hmm. Because stuff constantly happens in the dental office. So I thought that was an interesting analogy and metaphor for this today relative to what you're focusing on.
No, right? It really is. I mean, it's going back talking about positivity.
Yeah.
So in the opening question that I asked you, you know, here she comes to you and they're complaining about this other assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You've had sympathy for them. You've acknowledged their emotion. You've gotten down to the facts. Now, what is the next step in that? Do we then make a recommendation? Because we men like to, and especially we dentists like to, you know, male and female, like to solve problems.
Yeah.
And I think we get in trouble when, especially if you're married and your spouse comes to you and just wants you to listen, but you immediately go to solve their problem and you don't even acknowledge their emotion that they're having.
Yeah.
But in the workplace, you've acknowledged it. You've boiled down the facts where you think you kind of know what's happening. Now, do we go and solve that? And if so, how do you communicate that?
So I would say for something like that, if we're facilitating the provision of care as a team, then we need to solve this kind of thing as a team. Because, you know, if you picture it, if you as the leader kind of come down on this individual as, you know, mom or dad, depending on the gender, you know, does that solve the problem? Yes or no? I think to some degree, it depends on the personalities involved. However, the more ideal situation is to then be able to coach and guide the individual to say, okay, so look, it sounds like Susie left the room unturned. Makes a lot of sense. You're aggravated. Who wants to come into a room that's unturned? And so, you know, we're sitting here talking, but how is that actually solving the problem? What would you like to do in communicating with Sally to find out first why this happened and second of all, how to figure out not to allow this to happen again? And so you're kind of opening up the door by planting a seed, basically.
Well,
by
again,
saying,
you asked an open-ended question.
Yeah, 100%.
You didn't come and solve their problem.
No.
And what that does is builds resilience for your team.
Right, right.
It allows them to solve their own problems.
Right.
Eventually, they keep you out of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the best CEO makes themselves redundant.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so if you can build resilience in your team by asking them, how do you think we should solve this?
Yeah. Here's something that I know occurs because I've heard it time and time again. Let's say the individual says to you, the assistant in this case, well, I don't want to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I thought about that response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, listen, makes sense. This is a frustrating situation. So let me ask you this. We're here to treat patients, correct? That's a close-ended question for clarification. We're here to treat patients, right? Yeah. So how are we supposed to do that when we don't talk to one another? So if we're not going to talk to get over this, how are we supposed to get over other stuff that comes our way too? What are we going to do to fix this? And so for me, not only in coaching situations, but in former leadership situations, it's the continuation of asking those open-ended questions, right? And a lot of times, myself included, when we think about these kind of situations, we're catastrophizing in our own mind, right? We're trying to go to the worst case scenario. And so it's like, okay, so might that happen? Sure. But might that not happen? Yes, that's okay too, right? So it's like, you could even say to the individual, it's like, look, how important is it to you that we all come to work on most days and have a pretty easy day? Well, it's really, really important to me. Great. So if it's really, really important to you to do that, then how important then is it for you to find out what happened and why Susie left the room that way? Because that's not something that she normally does. And then, you know, she might go, well, she always does it. It's like, okay, so let's focus on always. At the last 2 weeks, how many times has she done this? Right? And you'll probably get like deer in the headlights. It's like,
would you bring this down to a three-step interaction? The validation, the acknowledgement of the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
How true is that? Open-ended questions to get down to the facts.
Every time.
And then ask them how they think they would solve this.
Every time.
There's so much crucial conversation in this.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that are listening that don't know, crucial conversations is something that Martin and I teach in our Lightside Live course. Martin really brought this to my attention. I learned it from him. But crucial conversations on, for example, you have that hygienist that is always late.
Yep.
You have that patient that is speaking rudely to your team.
Yep.
You have that neighbor that always halfway parks their car on your grass. Like, it doesn't have to be dental related. This is the universal thing.
Yep.
But I see so many things. I see so many similar nuances with both the crucial conversation script that you teach and also with this.
And it also goes back to some of the work I do with teams when I help create an alliance for the practice. And, you know, I've written about this in articles too. I mean, this is something I do. Do you need me to do this? Not necessarily, but it is something I've facilitated dozens of times. And it boils down to three questions and then one, you know, one escape hatch. The three questions are, what kind of place do we want to show up to every day? In this case, practice. What kind of practice? You know, fun, care, loving, considerate. You get the words. How are we going to show up when there are challenges? Maybe in this case, based on your example, without judgment might be a great way to show up when there are challenges. And then how are we going to keep each other accountable? Maybe with kindness, with, you know, hushed tones, without yelling, blah, 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 blah. So we create this alliance. We write down all those words that encompass the answer to those three questions. And then we have a safe word. The universal safe word happens to be pineapple. Don't ask me why. And so, you know, if that alliance had been in place with the practice that in the scenario that you gave, right? What kind of place do we want to come to every day? I guarantee you there's something about teamwork or cohesion in there, right? And so, you know, the assistant that came to you about this, that was yelling about Sally, can go back to Sally and go, pineapple. And Sally goes, well, what do you mean? What'd I do? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, you left the room unturned. And, you know, we've agreed that we're going to come to work and function as a team. And I want to bring this to your attention as a violation of our alliance with kindness. Like, what a different conversation that is, right?
Yeah, completely different.
Yeah.
So if we change this and we make this a patient.
Yep.
Bringing negativity.
Yep.
And I don't know if you have an example of that, but I was just thinking, you know, your practice too expensive.
Okay. Okay.
Or, I mean, I don't know if you have another
yeah.
example.
Yeah. 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 So I like that. And so I would probably look at them and I would say, you know what? First of all, I want to thank you for saying that, because truthfully, there's got to be a certain level of comfort for you with me in order for you to bring this to your attention. Right. And so
I like that. I like that even in that first situation.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
It seems like something that would help in so many conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the difficult part is you saying that, you have to live between that stimulus and the response here, right?
Yes.
Because I know me, when I was going through my hard times with dentistry, if someone came to me and said, your practice is too expensive, I would immediately respond and say, like, oh, well, it's not my problem that you, you know, and
yeah,
well, what do you mean it's too expensive? Like, I worked so hard and I went to school here and I did this and that. And I would immediately start justifying it. But I loved how you said that. Someone's bringing something negative to you and you're thanking them for that. First of all, from like an art of war, it's hard for them to be mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, when you're like, thank you so much.
It goes back to Phil Moyer's thing. It's like, always be grateful to the people that come to you. It's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah.
And so I would look and say to them, look, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for bringing that comment to me, because obviously there's a certain level of comfort for you to even be able to say that. And it's important for me to be able to address your concerns. I'm kind of curious, what in the treatment plan or what in your most recent interactions did you feel was more expensive than it should be?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they're going to answer you. And then, you know, obviously you'd have to duck and weave within any given type of these conversations. But my overarching thought process would be, like we talked about in the beginning of the assistant situation, listen for globalization verbiage, like, you know, it's too expensive. Well, what about this is too expensive? And, you know, every time I come in here, you find something new. We've all heard that, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, everything these days is so expensive. You're looking for those broad brushstroke comments, and that can be your in. It's like, look, money doesn't grow on trees these days. Things are more expensive than they used to be. I think we all know that. We all acknowledge that. And so, you know, what about this most recent bill is making you uncomfortable, right? And, you know, particularly if they start going down the road of, you're more expensive, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, well, you know, we've had a relationship for many years. And so, you know, I'm just kind of curious, you know, what is bringing this about all of the sudden, right? And and so you're kind of diving into, why is this occurring now versus 6 months ago or 8 months ago?
Yeah. So just to review, I'm seeing the same thing. You're acknowledging their emotion. You're not necessarily agreeing with it. Mm-hmm. I love that you thank them for bringing it to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I like how you talked about the relationship there too. Mm-hmm. You said, for you to bring this to my attention, you must feel some sort of comfort with me. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think that really builds trust.
Yeah.
And you've gone into the kind of how true is that, but of course, when we're talking about a client,
you know,
or a patient, you're going to talk a little bit differently. You're not necessarily how true is that, but you want them to speak their truth. So you did ask open-ended questions and allow them to get more into the nuance of what may specifically be bothering them. And then in this case, let's say they say, oh, well, you know, the crown was $1,700, and I remember I did one 2 years ago and it was $1,500.
Sure. Sure. And I would say, look, that makes a lot of sense when we compare the crown that you had done, what'd you say, 2 years ago? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
2 years ago versus today. And so that would make a lot of sense to compare. And while at the same time, things in our society today, everything has actually gone up dramatically. That's not an excuse, you know, Mr. Stanley. That's just the reality of the situation. And, you know, I'm certainly happy to go through with you the steps that we take to ensure your safety through our infection control, you know, the training that our staff goes through every year, the quality of materials that we use. I'm more than happy to kind of discuss all of those things with you. And you can go into more detail in any one of those areas. What I'm remembering, and it's funny, it's flashing in my brain. Dr. Speer often tells a story of a gentleman that was a friend of his that was his patient for years. And he kept talking to him about veneers because there was an aesthetic need. And the guy said, no, 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 no. And then like 30 years later, like no joke, it was a long period of time, he either goes or says he's going to go down the street because it's cheaper. And so what Frank did was he didn't argue with him. He didn't tell him, you know, well, you know, there's a reason why I'm this expensive. He went through what he did and all the steps he took and all the things he would consider. And so, and by the time he was done with that, the guy was like, oh, I get it now. And so, you know, there's been a commoditization of dentistry that's occurred due to social media and other things. And so to some degree, we're combating that more today than we've ever combated before. And so, you know, my recommendation would be to acknowledge, validate, and you're not coming up with excuses, but you're explaining with pride what it is you do and how you do it, the people you do it with, the materials that you select to help to explain something that is frankly a reasonable question, right?
Yeah, and I think in this specific one, so we had that first one, which was team-led, mm-hmm. or you know, involving mm-hmm. the team. They had this one that is patient-led. And this specific example, to me, it goes into the fact that you don't need to apologize for your fees.
Correct.
It's not your responsibility
correct.
For your patients to be able to afford your fees.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I really struggled with. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad giving someone an expensive treatment mm-hmm. plan, mm-hmm. especially if it, you know, I kind of knew they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I felt like I was being a bad dentist if I couldn't treat them and
yeah.
something was wrong with me. Oh, maybe my fees are too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I remember our mutual friend, Emma, who is mm-hmm. Kind of a high-end photographer. She photographs lawyers and their groups and that thing. Mm-hmm. And she said one time, it's not my responsibility for my clients to afford my fees.
Yeah.
And that is freeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is freeing. And I think that that's a mindset shift that dentists need to make.
Yeah. And I also think we also need to be citizens of the world too. And what do I mean by that? If your patient's questioning a $200 increase versus a 3-time-fold increase,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of a different story. I remember it was last fall, I think it was, I got the notification for my auto insurance renewal and it went from like 600 a quarter or 600 for 6 months to like 2000. I mean, it was nuts. And so I went from that company to another major company, called them up, gave them all the details. And actually, that's what it was. In the end, it was going to go from 2,000 back down to 600. So mm-hmm. I called up the first company, which, by the way, I was with for 30 years. And I said, hey, what's going on? I just got this premium update. It's X. I just called the other company. It's Y. What's going on? And you know what their explanation was? Mm. Well, you know, sir, inflation is a challenge.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's exactly what I said. I said, I respect that. I said, I would respect 20%, 30% maybe,
yeah.
But 2-3x? No.
Mm-hmm.
No. So we also got to come to it as citizens of the world with humility, particularly when it's that kind of question.
Yeah. And being a business owner has made me a better client.
Yeah.
Everything that I do.
Yeah.
No, to knowing when something goes wrong, not freaking out, or if I'm late to an appointment, I feel terrible and want to set the expectation. I try to be on time more because I know how it is to have late patients. And even things like this, when I go places and the cost of things goes up, I don't complain about this because I know how the cost of our stuff goes up. At our mechanic that works on my cars, that's been working on my family's cars for 30 years. He was telling me the other day, this little piece of plastic that Porsche has on the, oh, I know what it was. It was the window switch, the little knob to put the window up and down on the old cars. He said these used to be like $9 from Porsche. And I said, what do you pay now? He said, they're $80.
Oh my God.
$80. That's in 40 years. But still, he
Still.
said, I mean, the prices have gone up crazy. And of course, I have to pass that on.
And I think the other thing too that kind of came to my brain as we were talking as well as you've heard me say this before from some of my mentors, the thing behind the thing. And so, A, they feel comfortable enough with you to bring this question to them, but is it really the fee? Or is it their concern to afford the fee? Is it their assumption that it has to be paid up front? Could
Oh,
you
that's interesting.
employ patient financing or something else? So,
Or
when
is it the fee relation to the perceived value?
of course, it could be any one of the above, right? But unless we're asking open-ended questions, we're never going to get to the bottom of it ever.
Yeah. Well, that's like I referred some of my friends to see my partner, Matt Najat, and I know that Matt is not inexpensive. He is, like I said before, we have over 50 dentists in our building, and our practice is the most expensive. Okay, so he is on the very high end of dentistry in our building, in the city, in the country. And they recently just had work done, and they messaged me and just said, thank you so much for referring us to Matt. I mean, we had such a great experience. And I know that they spent a lot of money and they could have gone anywhere. They drove an hour and a half each way to see him. And, but they said, like, we're so happy that you sent us to Matt because with your teeth, you don't want to mess around. And I said, that's so true. But I tell people, I set the expectation when I send people because people say, where should I go? And, depending on where they're in the world too, sometimes they're in another country and I say, go to this person or this person. You and I know the best dentists around the world. But I set the expectation and say, hey, this guy or gal is at the top of their game and they're going to be more expensive than the dentist down the street. They may be double or triple the amount. However, in my opinion, if you're looking for the best, this is that person.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
So, what other kind of negativity do you see in the dental office that we may have not spoken about? Because I brought to you a team example, a patient example, but maybe there's something that's not so direct.
Well, okay, so here's a good one. As soon as you said, there's something else that immediately came to mind. Dealing with difficult patients just from a personality perspective. And you know how it is. It's so bizarre. Like, for whatever reason, in one day you have three number three crown preps, right? Or, things always go in waves, right? And then it's like, oh my gosh, we have, Tom, Dick, and Harry all coming in today, right? And so again, it's a matter of perspective. It's like, you know what? Yeah, they can be a bit challenging to deal with. And yeah, when they come in, we typically run behind because they have a lot of questions or it takes a long time to adjust the bite because they're very sensitive, blah, 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 blah. And what about everybody else we're seeing today? Right? This goes from the top. It's like what I say all the time. You probably think I'm a broken record. You having a bad day, or did you turn 5 minutes into 24 hours, right? And we can take that concept and lay it over patients. It's like, yeah, they were really difficult to deal with. I'm really kind of burnt out because of that. But you know what? I saw 13 other people today that were appreciative for being here, and those are the people I'm going to focus on, right?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do in dentistry, and I've I'm guilty of this,
Very
I've
hard.
many times, is that we have a hard time enjoying our wins, usually because we don't have a lot of time to enjoy them.
Yeah,
So you
yeah.
finish that crown, you put it on, the margins are amazing. I mean, it slides right in. You go floss the contacts, ch-ch-ch-ch. You take your articulating paper, perfect triangular blue occlusal pattern, and then you say, really good to see you, Mrs. Jones. Have a good day. They'll get you scheduled up front for your next cleaning. And you walk into the hallway and your assistant is looking at you like, okay, I need to tell you what's going on in the other room.
It's true. It's
And so
true.
you had like 15 seconds to enjoy that. And I think that's why it's so hard to go to the negative, because we're constantly dealing with people that are in pain or having problems. So it almost becomes the default.
It is the default, but and I'm gonna push back and argue that it's the learned default.
I love that. Yeah.
And so I'm gonna use this car debacle example again, because I think it's relevant. We get out of that situation. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful we got out of that. We didn't get stuck. The car isn't damaged, right? We go down the road and we're sitting in traffic for 40 minutes. And I swear, what was going through my head was, I'm so grateful we didn't break an axle.
Yeah.
And so it's, and again, I'm not exaggerating. So it's what thoughts we allow to permeate through our brain. And what I will also say is that it's a skill that's acquired. It's a skill that takes time, and we have to give ourselves grace to allow ourselves to learn. I can tell you in all candor, because I've had a challenging couple weeks here, and I will have negative thoughts. I am human like everybody else.
Yeah.
But what I will do is I will literally say to myself, I'm not exaggerating, I'll be like, no. This went really, really well today. Well, but I'm so frustrated. No. That margin was amazing. But Sally's, just giving me her 2 weeks' notice. No. Mrs. Jones just said thank you. She's never said thank you before. It's really hard. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not hard, but I believe in my soul that we all have the ability to do it. Because look, I have been as negative as they possibly have come in my life, and I've had some really horrible things happen. And I'm sitting here saying, looking everybody in the face or in their hearing me in their ears, you can make a choice. You can make a choice, but it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen in a week. It's got to be a concerted effort, which is why, in my opinion, starting at the top and talking to your team about, we are going to engage in a culture of positivity. We are not going to ignore the negative stuff because that's toxic, but we are going to look to the positive stuff. If we catch ourselves saying, oh my gosh, every patient today has been such a difficult, time. Really? Has it? What about the eight patients that were lovely? So sorry to get on my soapbox there for a minute, but
No, that was great. And I couldn't agree more with that, especially in that it is a skill.
Yeah,
You
100%.
know, dentists don't think about this. They think skills are only for clinical dentistry. But skills are communication, skills are the way you think. Like you said, a learned default. I love that. That was me. I was a learned default, look to the negative, because I had been doing dentistry for so long. And in dental school, that's all we talked about was the negative. How can you get better? Because you're constantly learning. But focusing on those positives, I've been on this positive psychology journey for about 6 years now, and I've gotten better at it.
100%.
I have gotten better at having things happen to me that don't let me dwell on them for 2 weeks now. And it used to be 2 weeks. And then maybe 2, 3 years into this practice, it got down to 10 days. And then it got down to 1 week. And you can get down to the point of, hey, maybe it's just a minute of your time that it gets to. Negative comments on my social media or negative DMs that I get. would really bother me, and especially anybody who does ads, because I do ads for my online courses, like the Complication Compliance Method. If you haven't picked that up, make sure you go pick that up. It's only $47. But I get negative comments. People write, "Oh, this guy's such an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This is such bullshit. He's just trying to do this or that, that." And it's not like they don't affect me, but they used to affect me for days. Now they may affect me for a minute, or some of them, they're really bad, may affect me for an hour, let's say that. But it's not days. And I have been so much better at doing that. But it is a learned skill. It's a practice skill. It's something that I've put time into, I've put money into, I've put effort into. And guess what, people listening? When you put time and money and effort into something, it gets better.
Oh,
And
100%.
for
100%.
we dentists, we think you can only do that for clinical skills. You can do that for soft skills. If you want to be a better communicator, guess what? There's science behind it. There's frameworks like we talked about today. You can learn this. You can practice this. You can have friends and colleagues that do this together. You can keep each other accountable, and you get better over time. And
Oh,
you think,
100%.
does that impact my dentistry? How's that going to make my margin better? It's not. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to increase your case acceptance. It's going to make you a better leader. It's going to increase your relationships, which increase trust, which increase case acceptance, which makes you take home more money, which gives you more time off, which gives you more time with your family. And that makes you happier.
100%, 100%. And
So it's just a reminder that soft skills matter.
even you made the comment about like the negative comments, like the looking at things differently can also allow you not only to get over them more effectively and more swiftly, but also to put things in perspective too. Like I'm gonna say we kind of got a negative comment about the fact that we have a course, and there's tuition associated with the course, and it's about mental wellness. And somebody made a comment about, helping people be better. It's a bit predatory. And then we launched this podcast, and we're like, we're giving this stuff away. And so it helped put it in perspective because we so believe in it and how it's affected our lives. It's like, no. Like, you can have this stuff or you can do this stuff. It's no different than dentistry, right? You can go this way, you can go that way, you can do this, you can do that, or not do anything at all. It's actually up to you. You are the one that can make the choice, right?
Well, this has been a great discussion,
It's
Martin.
been
I've
fun.
really learned a lot. I like the framework that you introduced, and just reviewing for people, it's having sympathy, validating, acknowledging the emotion, not necessarily agreeing with it. You can even thank them for bringing something to your attention that is negative. Then you can go, how true is that? And go a little bit deeper into what is fact-based here, what is more generalization, bringing that up, and then asking some open-ended questions on what they think we should do about this.
Amen.
And it's a great framework. You can use that. I mean, use it with your kids, use it with your spouse, use it with your friends. Practice, if you have kids, practice it on your kids before you practice it on your team or your patients.
Absolutely.
And when these type of frameworks become second nature to you, oh my gosh, how your communication increases, and people respect that. They know. And where you're not, I don't know, what should I do? When you come in with vigor and you're ready for this, wow, you can really command a room.
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to Wellness and Dentistry. We always have fun talking with each other, and we always love hearing from you. If you haven't written us a review yet, please take the time to do this, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to us. That does help us with getting to more dental professionals, helping more people, lifting up our profession, because it's such an incredible profession that we're in. And go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You can check out all of our links, but especially check out Lightside Live, which is coming up this November. And it's our 2-day workshop. You will have so much fun. It's a transformational time. And you get to hang out with me, Martin. What more could you ask for? So we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Have a good day.
The, yeah.